Welcome to the No Response Zone, the podcast where two guys with funny accents talk about video games, life, and everything else. First off, you're going to have to excuse me a little bit. I was on a trip, and I came back just today, and I kind of came back with a little bit of a cold. So if you hear me heavy breathing like a fat guy at the gym in the background, that's because my nose is very, very stuffy. Besides that, everything's fine.
We don't have funny accents.
We don't. But
we have accents.
But that's like the intro that I've been using, so I'm sticking to my guns. It works. Got to flow with it. Got to flow with it. Oh God, my face hurts.
So Pablo, yes. What have you been playing the last week?
I haven't been playing that much of anything, to be honest. Because I went on a trip, so I haven't really played anything since Thursday. Just today, I started playing Dauntless, though. That new new game by Epic. It is by Epic, right? Same people that make Fortnite?
So it's by Epic. It kind of looks like Fortnite,
though. Yeah, it looks exactly like Fortnite. And it's got Fortnite's engine, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's Unreal Engine. They make Unreal Engine.
Yeah, but...
They own it, so why use another engine? You own the best engine.
Exactly. And basically, Dauntless is if Fortnite was for... Fortnite was for video games. Let me see if I can put it away. Dauntless is to Monster Hunter what Fortnite is to PUBG. Kind of like that, right?
No, yes, but Fortnite ended up killing PUBG.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think Dauntless is gonna kill Monster Hunter or.
No, because it's Japan. That's it. Japan is never gonna stop playing Monster Hunter.
Exactly, but Dauntless is made by Epic. And it's got it looks just like Fortnite. It's got that same cartoony little art style. It looks very nice. I mean, it doesn't run that great, but it looks very nice. And basically, the gameplay is exactly like Monster Hunter, but trimmed down and obviously with Epic Games' flair for the loot box and the here in the elite version and et cetera, and customization and stuff and. Stuff you can buy in the Epic Store to buy more stuff for your character. It's got all of that, but I kind of like it. It should be mentioned, it is free to play, so that's always nice. It is free to play, and so far, just in the, I think I played for like a good hour. You could get a lot of stuff just by playing the game and crafting new weapons and armor, just like a Monster Hunter.
Hopefully, it's only the servers that are kind of bad. That's why the FPS are bad.
Yeah, the FPS. I mean, I think the FPS when you're actually hunting one of the monsters will be
looks humans. Better.
Yeah,
it looks when you're in the main zone where you're crafting shit, that looks bad.
Oh yeah, of course.
It looks 10 hilarious. FPS. It looks disgusting. It hurts my eyes.
It was really bad. But I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, call me crazy, but it kind of reminds me of like a old school WoW when it first came out. Like
then you were used to those graphics and everything.
But you go to like Stormwind or whatever, and the graphics just start clipping and going really slow, and you lose a lot of frames.
Oh yeah, and when you spawn, like you open up the game and you're in the middle of the city, and everyone is there. It has to spawn everything.
Exactly.
You wait for 5 minutes in front of your PC, like, oh, I'm just going to wait, and then I'll play in 5 minutes.
It's kind of the exact same feeling, even though in this day and age, Dauntless should not have those kind of frame drops when you go into a town.
It doesn't make sense. But I think it's just the servers. Yeah. Because it has an Unreal Engine. The engine is good.
But at the end of the day, it's kind of nostalgic. I kind of like it. I mean, after we do this, I'm probably gonna jump right back into it, and there's gonna be a lot of people playing because it took about how long for it to load?
The queue was like 10 minutes.
No, I think it was way more. I must say it's like maybe like 15-20 minutes.
I think it was like 10.
Did you say you think it was like 10? I think
it wasn't that much. It was long, but not that much.
Well, yeah, but it was.
You way said low. There was 59,000 people in front of you.
59 people in front of me, and it kept
59,000.
No, 59,000. No, it was 1,500.
It was 3 zeros after.
No, it was.
I mean, it was going down by 1,000 every time. It doesn't matter.
It was 2 zeros. Yeah. Either way, it was like 5,900, whatever, and it went all the way down, letting me in. But it took about 10 minutes to find a server or to be able to get into a server in the queue, which was surprising. So that tells you a lot of people are playing it. But you know, it's like Monster Hunter with a lot of the fat of Monster Hunter taken out. And you get quicker hunts, it's only one monster, there's not a lot of like side missions and stuff. So if you just want to like, it's good to like jump in, do a couple of hunts, and then, go about your day or do your errands. So that's the thing that I like about it. It's very in and out. And of course, cross-platform play, which is awesome, which I'm going to tell my kid to download Dauntless now so I can play with him on a Switch.
Is it on the Switch?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's on a Switch. Oh, well, let me...
While you look it up, yeah. I've been playing Forza the whole weekend. I mean, actually, the whole week. Last week, I was playing Forza. I was, like, switching between Forza, Gran Turismo, and Rage 2.
Uh-huh.
I really like Rage 2. I mean, it feels a little slow, but... I stopped playing Gran Turismo because, fuck, that game is... Imagine if you're really driving a soup like those cars, but you have to drive them with a fucking controller. It's basically impossible. So I kept playing online and losing it. Then I went back to Forza that is made to be played with a controller, and it felt way nicer. So yeah, I've been playing that the whole weekend, basically. But I've been playing Rage 2. I figured... This game is really good. Like, the driving is okay. It's kind of like Avalanche does it. It's like Just Cause. It's not bad, but it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like Mad Max. They did a good, way better job at Mad Max, the driving.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that game actually...
Mad Max was based on everything driving, so it was basically a driving game.
Yeah, so the driving was actually... I mean...
Yeah, the fight was eh. But this game, the shooting is amazing. Maybe one of the best shootings I've ever played, but the problem is... You don't even know what you're doing in the missions. Like, they just have a little bit of dialogue, one cinematic at the beginning, and they drop you up in a map full of stuff, and you don't know what's happening. So you just go around, find it, because you just want to shoot. So find the quickest place, like, oh, a base, and just shoot people. Because in the end, you're just going to, like, drive to place, because you want to shoot people. That is it. It's really fun, but I wish they made a better story. And that reminded me, they did the same thing with Rage 1.
And what is the story of Rage 2? Just like no spoilers or anything, just like the overall.
So basically, there's this, the authority is like a regime of bad people. Let's say they're like Nazis, basically, but in cyborgs, and they want to take over. And you're basically one of the Rangers, and you're trying to defend what's left of the cities. But it actually takes, like, follows the story of which Rage 1. Problem is, Rage 1 was kind of like the same. The good thing about this one is more diverse with the climates and. Like how the areas look. You've seen the punk people. Mm-hmm. You have the robotic people.
Yeah.
But in the first one, it was just the wasteland. And it felt the same. You go to place to kill people. The shooting is amazing, but the first one basically felt like a test. Like they were testing that engine and that shooting in that game. And they didn't do that in this game, but it feels the same. Boring, but really good.
Well, I haven't played Rage 2, and I can't really speak for Rage 1, I've never played that one either, so I'm not really an expert on the subject, but I can say from the trailers I've seen in the gameplay that it almost looks like they're trying really hard to do like a spin on Borderlands, or rip off of Borderlands, you know, clever and quirky and kind of out there.
Rage was like that. They just added those, now it's colorful.
Okay.
Because they added the punk. But I don't know if you remember, maybe not, because this was really before Borderlands. Before Borderlands came out, the first time they showed it, they didn't have those, you know, I lose comic book here because
oh,
they have like this.
Oh, yeah, Borderlands.
They didn't have that.
Yeah,
and
I
that
remember,
looked bad.
Man, I think it must have been Game Informer back in the day, the magazine.
I think so.
Yeah, I had a subscription for it. And yeah, when they did the trailers, well, not even trailers, that the mock-ups for the first iteration of Borderlands,
it looked bad.
It was very it didn't look bad. It just
looked plain, like
it was very realistic, very realistic. They went for hyper realism. It was very gray.
There was barely any color, exactly.
It kind of had like a very. You ever seen that movie called Book of Eli with Denzel Washington?
Yes.
It kind of had that vibe, very like gray.
Yeah, wasteland.
Stuff.
Wasteland,
yeah.
Like.
And they were like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have like a lot of guns, but all the guns looked more." You know, like grayish, like you'd expect the gun to look in real life.
In a fucking wasteland.
Exactly. And you had like a character who had like a face burned off and stuff like that. I remember that, the earlier concept art. And I don't know what happened. That kind of.
I'm glad they didn't.
Of course. It kind of like dropped off the grid. And then when it came back, it was in color. It was cel shaded. That's what it was. It was heavily cel shaded and animated. Like, it looks like the Borderlands we know and love.
The big difference is like, there's no loot in this game. You have, it's like Doom, you know Doom, you have a wheel of weapons that you start filling as you go. This is the same.
Oh,
you have you can get new skins for the weapons, but barely any. So there's like 6-7 weapons If you have the deluxe, you get the BFG.
Oh, so the game you actually acquire weapons as you progress the story.
Yeah. It's like also Wolfenstein.
Yes.
Like that. Like there's an assault rifle, a pistol, a hand cannon.
Okay.
And you can change the skin, maybe something like that. But it's always, you can change the ammunition, I think, too.
So in that case, the game is a bit more, it's more story focused and linear than Borderlands. That's the problem, you would say.
That there's no story focus. They don't look at the story at any moment. Like the story is mainly like sometimes you have a mission, but it's mainly like go there and kill someone. And then you have like, oh, a little bit of information. And then it just feels like shooting, shooting, shooting. And that's good because the shooting is super good. But the story is boring. Really boring. There's barely anything to do. The problem is that you don't have loot. That's what's good in Borderlands.
Okay.
The story in Borderlands is not that good in the first one. Just like the loot.
No, and the second one is really good, though. The first one's kind of meh.
And the prequels, too.
Yeah. But well, just to kind of put a nip into the Rage 2, even though we don't really have a rating system here or anything, but what would be like...
Three bruises.
Three bruises. What do you think would be one major pro and one major con of the game? And would you say that you'd... Do you regret buying it, yes or no? And then why not? That's it.
I don't regret buying it.
Okay.
I really like it. Like, okay, the story is bad. It's not bad. It's just they don't get too much into the story. They don't make it like your main thing. So you don't like, I'm going to do the main story. It's amazing. There's not like much cinematic. Yeah, it ends up becoming good because you get a tank and shit. But in the end, you don't feel like you want to do it. But also, when you're doing shit and you get a lot of, like, you start getting good at it, you have powers. Like, you can just shoot people, like,
so it's kind of like...
It feels good. The shooting feels really good.
So it's kind of like the shooting feels really, really good, but the game doesn't really give you a reason or give you, like, push you to want to finish it, even though the shooting's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It mainly pushes you to shoot.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that in this day and age... My opinion, the best first person shooters are the ones that are more linear. They can like focus more on like set pieces as opposed to, because you know a shooting game, unless the shooting is really good, it needs a little bit more than just like the shooting mechanics to get you through it. For example, like that's why Doom 2016 was such a big success, because even though the story is like not even there, you don't care about the story.
There was an online mode.
But the way the shooting mechanics played in that game, how it harkens back to similar shooting mechanics like the original Doom or more like Quake, just moving and sliding and.
Quake is actually big. It's still big. Quake, the Quake Champions. Last year was in August or something. They did like the QuakeCon. They did like the world tournament.
People still play. Quake.
That was fucking amazing. Like those people have reflexes. Like they can see you from the other side.
Yeah,
like through a little hole, boom, and they get you. I was like, whoa! It's 2v2 and it's super fast, and it's like the Doom mechanics almost.
Yeah, but also what I'm saying is that I prefer first-person shooters that have like a really solid story. For example, I think that one of the most important first-person shooters that come out in the last few years is Wolfenstein.
Those are the more entertaining.
The New Order?
I wouldn't say the best ones. I would say the more entertaining for me.
Which ones?
The like single-player story focus, like linear. Those feel the most entertaining because I'm going to play one that's online-based, like, eh. Because it's skill-based.
No,
I don't get enjoyment from like a good story. Like, it's no satisfaction.
Well, for me, I love Wolfenstein. I love the shooting mechanics of it. It always felt very visceral and very... Like, you get a chance to dual wield shotguns or dual wield anything. And you're mowing down Nazis. You feel like, damn, fuck yeah, I'm mowing down Nazis.
There was a mission in the first one, I think, getting to a submarine.
Yeah.
And at the end, you have a huge room full of people, and I just wanted like two shotguns. Bah, 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 bah. So good.
Yeah, when you travel in the corridor and you feel like the shotguns just bouncing off everything. Yeah, it feels amazing. And it has such a really good story. It probably had the best story in acting, like voice acting and everything acting in a first person shooter video game, I'd say since Halo.
I wouldn't, like, when I got in, I wasn't expecting like BJ to, like,
no, it's
be like, deep or anything,
know,
and then like, you get to know him, and you're like, "Whoa!" When they like the story about his dad beating him up and
exactly
shit.
It's like, actually goes back to his dad, but that's in the second one. But
he killed his fucking dad.
Oh, there we go.
We all played. That game is almost 2 years old.
It is the second one. Yeah, that's quite old. Yeah.
You know the special edition they did that is a BJ action figure.
Yeah.
Terribly.
Yeah.
I have it. I bought it for $19 with the game.
Not bad. Not bad. But yeah, Wolfenstein, I think, is one of both of them. Wolfenstein, The New Order, and Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. And then the third one, which is not out yet, is it?
No. Well, that's Youngblood, but...
Youngbloods, yeah.
This is like a spin-off.
Oh, the DLCs, the chapters.
Old Blood?
Yeah, Old Blood.
That's like almost a whole... That feels like a whole game.
It is a whole game.
And it's still good, because it's the same shooting mechanics. Story's not that solid, but... It's not the main one. They didn't put that much time or money in it.
No, because the story in the Wolfenstein games and, you know, the New Order, the New Colossus, they're just so good. Like,
yeah,
Nazi-occupied America, and it's like...
And the second one looks amazing.
The second one, it just gives you this extreme vibe, and you feel that you're, like, terrorist in your own country,
yeah,
doing the right
building.
Thing. Yeah, it's just... If you like stuff like The Man in the High Castle, you know, it's like...
I mean, those in that they focus, they went more to the West Coast, where it's like more Japanese. And I really like that. You know what I really liked about that is like they didn't like show the story of the biggest like people in that world. They just showed little people doing something maybe a little big, and that's it.
Yeah.
I love that book.
I haven't read it. I've seen a bit of the series. Oh. But
the show sucks.
But the vibe, the actual story is very similar to Wolfenstein's, you know.
Yeah.
Nazi.
Basically, yes.
And then at some point, you know,
Nazis win.
In the second one, you kind of have like these really cool moments in which you actually fly to the moon.
Yeah, you know how in the book how they travel between the United States and Germany?
Yeah.
By rocket. So the flight lasts like 70 seconds.
It's shoo! And yeah, Wolfenstein, you get to go to the moon.
It's the Lufthansa, the plane company that exists now. They call it Lufthansa because that's how they called it back then.
The Man in the High Castle, the book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thought there was a Wolfenstein book that came out that I never knew about.
I'm pretty sure there's Wolfenstein books.
Yeah, there has to be.
Yeah, like official books or something.
Like tie-ins or something?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Also, like ones that they release, like they're tie-ins, but not really. It's other people that publish it because they really love it. And Doom is like, yeah, we approve of this. Like Star Wars. There's a bunch of Star Wars spin-offs that, because when they heal the universe, they like, yeah, re-release new content for the new universe.
Well, you know, that kind of shuts it up because there really aren't any Wolfenstein books. What there are, they do have art collections, but they don't have actual books. Like, they have, there's a comic series. I don't think it lasted long, though. But yeah, there's a comic series. I think it only did one.
Do you remember, it was E3 2 years ago. Bethesda showed a trailer. It was, what's her name? The first Wonder Woman on TV.
The first what?
Wonder Woman.
First Wonder Woman.
On TV. Like she played the superhero. Linda
Carter?
Yes.
Yeah, what about her?
I mean, I don't know if you know, she's really in a bunch of Bethesda games.
Didn't you mention this once? Because she's like,
yes,
married to...
She's
like
married to the CEO of ZeniMax, who owns Bethesda. Well, she did a trailer where she was like herself. She was acting on the trailer and she was doing a campaign to save Player One. Because they were feeling like there's too many multiplayer games and we still need to keep single player games. That was before Fallout 76, so yeah, before that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If we take apart Fallout 76 and we leave Fallout 76 on the side, the rest of the games are single player based. Even though they include multiplayer, like Prey has a multiplayer mode now, but it's like way after the game came out. So it's like, okay, you gave us a really good game, and then you gave us like, it's like you hide and seek basically because you can transform.
Yeah.
But they've been releasing a lot of games because they own 10 studios. So I think they're going to become more like, do more story focused like shooting games, and we're going to see a lot of stuff, like good stuff, especially for Rage. We're gonna see new content like dropping at E3.
Oh, for sure. And that should be what it's E3 is in 15 days now.
15 days.
It's shaping up to be a pretty good E3.
Yeah, I'm expecting a lot of stuff for E3.
Well, the thing is, like, there's a lot of studios not showing up at E3. I don't think Sony's gonna have a booth.
No, Sony does their own thing, you know.
I think CD Projekt Red announced
that. Fuck yeah, they have a booth. I seen the size; it's big.
They have
their own conference, right?
Yeah, they have their own conference, and I think they have a public booth. So
we're gonna get to see like an hour trailer.
So they're gonna be showing stuff from,
because they're the kind of people that show a lot of content. Like they just show. They do a lot of content, but not really, because they just show you a mission and that's it.
Yeah.
Like they showed you actual gameplay.
Well, whatever they show, I'm excited to see.
Oh yeah.
Just like everybody else is, everybody's on bated breath waiting on that game. Also, just today, if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw it when I was landing on the plane.
Pokemon?
No. when I was landing on the plane in Miami, I was getting signal. That's when I saw Hideo Kojima's little. He's been dropping a few hints
on Twitter,
and not just him. It's been him. It's been Troy Baker. It's been Jeff Knightley. I don't think Norman Reedus has dropped anything, but
His Twitter is not really him. It's him, but I don't think he understands social media or he likes social media. Have you seen his profile picture? Yeah. It's more pixelated than anything. It's like a picture he found on Google.
Who, Norman Reedus?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think you're right. But Hideo Kojima, fucking when he tweets. And he says...
Oh, yeah. And he has an assistant that tweets every day. Hideo today. And she takes pictures of Hideo all day.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. This
he reposts... Like, most of the pictures you see, it's reposts from her assistant. It's a blonde Japanese lady.
Well, I really hope that this doesn't sound creepy, but I want you to give me later the Twitter handle so I can watch that. So, basically... We'll be taking pictures of Hideo Kojima.
He travels a lot and he does a lot of weird stuff. So... She takes pictures of him in those situations.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to get that Twitter handle.
And he takes a lot of pictures of his food also. Yeah,
that's
like a lot of energy drinks that seem really unhealthy, that are super compressed. And I'm like, you're going to die soon.
But the main thing is that he is teasing that on the 29th, I believe, we will be getting some Death Stranding info. Because since Sony isn't having a conference at E3, I guess Kojima's going to do it maybe a little bit before, maybe on the 29th, yeah, we'll get something.
Technically, he's his own studio.
Yes, but he's getting distributed by Sony. Yeah. So And I don't think Kojima Productions has a booth or anything announced for E3.
No,
so
I don't think so.
So if we get something, it's going to be...
Yeah, they'll do something, yeah.
Through social media like this. But we don't know what it'll be. Maybe on the next podcast, once we see where it is, we'll give it some... We'll go into a deep dive and go into... Give new theories on whatever madness is going to be in the next Death Stranding trailer. But what else is going on?
I mean, actually, that is not for E3. So for E3, there's actually that I'm hoping happen.
Let's see what's going on for E3. What do you think?
2 years ago, Square Enix teased something with Marvel. They didn't show anything else. They just showed like a quick teaser. And I've been reading, apparently there was a deal. There might be a few games coming. Like, maybe different games, but with Marvel, like, an Avengers one. Like, there's a bunch of shit that is going to come from Square Enix.
Do you think Square Enix making, like...
They haven't released anything big lately.
No, they haven't. But
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but I don't think they developed it, just published it.
That news came out, like you said, a couple of years ago, that Square Enix is teaming up with Marvel to make what, you know, what we presume to be, you know, Avengers games or... Captain America games or X-Men games, like God knows what, but yeah, made by Square Enix. But don't you think that with all the attention being given right now to Final Fantasy VII Remake, that those Marvel games might be a little bit pushed to the wayside?
I don't know. This was announced on January 2017.
Oof.
And apparently the deal is multi-year, multi-game deal.
That's three games, though. But
I mean, I don't know if it's three games. It's just multi.
I mean, but we have to see because they are working pretty hard on that.
Yeah, they haven't released anything big like Tomb Raider, but they didn't. It wasn't developed by them. It was Crystal Dynamics. They haven't released also those X in like in years. They've been working hard at this. The last one were Nier. And Nier is still full price because it's a really good game. I downloaded it last week. Still haven't started it yet.
Actually,
it was super cheap.
Can't say I ever played it, but yeah, maybe that does in that case, does Square Enix have a booth at E3 this year?
I don't know.
I'm hoping they do. That's a thing to investigate. That's a thing to check out because
I'm pretty sure they do.
Because we're talking here about Square Enix, but yeah. We don't know what they have down the pipeline. I mean, what they had Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yes,
but But in my opinion, Kingdom Hearts 3, it wasn't that big of a deal as a...
Apparently, I typed Square Enix E3. The three first things is Square Enix made teas. Avengers.
Really?
Three times. Well, I think something's coming.
That would definitely be interesting. I definitely would like to see what a Japanese-based company like Square Enix would do with a property like the Avengers. What kind of take that would put to that formula? You know, what kind of stories that they haven't seen already? They might do. Might be interesting. Especially considering how Square Enix is also working on the Final Fantasy VII remake, which is apparently going to be basically two full-blown games.
They announced Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man like PS4 2 this year.
Oh, Spider-Man 2?
No, the game, like, it was Spider-Man.
No, they weren't doing another Spider-Man. Sony has that on lock.
Sony. Yeah, I don't mean Square Enix anymore and not E3. I want this year the announcement for that Spider-Man, the second one.
Fingers crossed.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, after the game released, everyone bought it and then were like, green-lighted Spider-Man 2, like, immediately.
Because that game was amazing. But now we're talking about Sony.
It was nominated to be a Game of the Year.
Well, but now we're talking about Sony, and Sony doesn't even have a booth at E3 this year.
I really want that to be shown this year. At any point. Maybe in a few minutes.
I mean, hopefully, because that Spider-Man game was amazing.
I mean, we all know we have the platinum in that game.
We know that you have the platinum on that game, because you liked it so much.
It was amazing. I'm still doing the New Game Plus, so I get all the trophies.
That's a bit excessive.
I love that game.
But it was amazing. It's a testament to how good of a game it is and how replayable it is. But who else is having, like, Bethesda has a booth at E3 today, correct? Not today, but when E3 happens?
Yes, they do, but I don't think we're going to see much from them. It's going to be more, for them, it's going to be like housekeeping, basically.
Housekeeping?
Because they're not going to show much new games, maybe Youngbloods, but that's it. The rest is going to be like Doom, also.
And asking for forgiveness for Fallout 76.
No, they're going to show more DLCs for Fallout 76. They actually don't, like, they're releasing a lot of free content. Like, a lot. And they're going to announce more at the end. Maybe, God Howard appears on stage.
God Howard says,
here it is. And he shows Elder Scrolls 6, and he's like, I was kidding, there's no Starfield.
Oh my
God. Elder Scrolls 6 releases tomorrow.
Actually, that would actually make me quite disappointed, because I'm actually quite interested to see
I really want Starfield too.
What a space.
But, you know, Elder Scrolls 6 released this week.
I'm fairly sure Elder Scrolls 6 is not going to come out until the next generation of consoles.
Oh no, like in 2021 or something.
Yeah, 2021. But Starfield we might get
2020.
Before.
I'm saying next E3, not this year's E3, next E3, Starfield will be released. Announced. Because...
We
might get a description at least this year. Maybe they do interviews, like a panel or something, and they're like, yeah.
Maybe a bigger trailer, you never know. You gotta hold out hope.
I don't think bigger trailer. I think a panel might be what's coming. They've been doing a lot of panels lately, and they release a lot of... Most of the info we got for Fallout 76 was in panels.
That's true.
Most of it. I watched all of them.
But I mean, my opinion, and I think I've mentioned it before, is that the year hasn't exactly been great for Bethesda. You know, say what you want, but
you know, they still made a lot of money.
I know, but in reality, in the court of public image,
in street cred, they're low.
Yeah,
in money, they're really high.
No, yeah, but like I said, in the court of public image, Bethesda has kind of lost a lot of face.
Kind of cleaned it
this
a
year, but I think with this E3 conference, they're gonna do. They might show some stuff that they.
Maybe I mean, they're gonna show the new Wolfenstein and the new Doom.
Yes, for sure.
That is gonna make people forget about everything. It's like, whoa, Doom Eternal. That's it. Wolfenstein is like, in the meantime, before we get an actual third game, we'll get this. Yeah, a $39 game.
That'd be nice.
A cheap game.
But I think about Doom Eternal and a $39 Wolfenstein game, they're gonna have to show more, man. They need. Give me 2
DLCs.
Give me like 2 minutes or a minute of Starfield. A minute and a half of Starfield.
I don't even think Todd Howard is going to show up.
Well, I'll tell you.
It's going to be Pete Hines, probably. The only one. There.
Maybe
if they bring a second person. There's been a person like in the panels lately, Matt Grandstaff or something like that.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the main PR guys in Bethesda. And he's been like showing up on panels. Maybe if he's like good host. He's way younger than Pete. But Pete Hines, I still love him.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
no disrespect.
Definitely, I personally think they're gonna be showing a lot more than just.
I don't think so. Well, I wish. I wish.
That'd be disappointing.
Maybe Fallout 5.
Jesus.
They were like, everybody that bought Fallout 76, you have Fallout 5 downloaded as you get home. And that's it.
No, no, that is definitely grabbing the spots. They're definitely going to announce Fallout 5.
Fallout 5 is going to come like in 2025.
Dude, Fallout 5.
Not even that. Maybe they're like PS5. No, PS6. That's too sad.
Well, but besides that, we don't really know what to expect from E3. I think we're all excited for anything Bethesda can do.
Cyberpunk too.
We're
really excited about that.
I mean, we already know that CD Projekt Red is going to have a big stage. It was the first game we talked about today. We already know they're going
to
have.
But I'm interested in what they're doing because they have 400 people. They have to do something really big, like in terms of the game, the design of it, like how it looks. Because I'm pretty sure there's at least 100 people like putting objects.
We were talking before the podcast that 400 employees, people working on one video game, that's an insane amount.
You know the amount of Easter eggs we can find? Because it's 400 people planting Easter eggs?
Not even that. Just imagine the detail that they're trying to put into that world.
And the story, at least, there has to be like... Because the way they do it usually with RPGs is like they give storylines to people. So if you have a team of like at least 100 writers... The amount of side quests and lines
I doubt it's 100.
Oh, no, I think, like, the writers is this.
But if you have, like, a lot of writers, you could have, like, a lot of stuff to do. And, of course, CD Projekt Red are masters of creating worlds. So whatever they're going to show of Cyberpunk 2077, I already know that I'm going to love it. I mean, that's like one of my games that I was like, I'm gonna buy it, like, no matter what.
Technically you can pre-order it already on Amazon. Same thing with Final Fantasy. They don't have dates. They just say December 31st. That's a placeholder date. We don't know.
But PewDiePie taught me one thing a long, long time ago. Don't ever reserve a game that doesn't have a release date.
It's two games you know they're going to release.
I know.
But I mean, Final Fantasy, I don't know that much.
Oh, Final Fantasy is going to come out.
Maybe it's 2021. Who knows?
Maybe it's 2021, maybe 2020. I don't. It looks amazing. I'm excited for it, but God knows.
I think it's close already. Like, it's going to release this year.
Another one that I'm kind of hoping to see something from, since, you know, they've been teasing it already in the Division 2, is Ubisoft. And see if they do say anything to confirm this Viking Assassin's Creed game we keep seeing so much about.
I mean, we know it's going to be Vikings, but what we've seen, it's completely fake.
Everything. Yes, the first we heard about it was a couple of, like maybe a week ago we saw it, and I showed you some screenshots, and
I'm excited for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, but that game is like,
they've been showing a lot of stuff. I think this is the year they give a date. They're like, maybe it's 20. I'm pretty sure it's going to be 2020, but they're like, hey, like March 2020 or something.
But that game, they've been showing stuff for that game since way earlier, back in 2015.
Probably
even before that.
It was in 2017 that they showed an actual good trailer that looked fucking amazing.
Yes, but before that, you were thinking that it was going to be like the main characters from the first Beyond Good and Evil, but then they're like, oh no, it takes place like 300 years before.
Because it's been so long that they don't want to like...
It just kind of seems that they completely...
Most people nowadays haven't played that game. So they don't want to release a game that it's a sequel to a game that young people haven't played because they never played back then. So they want to release something new. That's like with Rage, it was... You can play without playing the first one. Every game that releases a second game way longer, like Doom, Wolfenstein, they just rebooted and it's like...
Eh. Yeah.
Because people haven't played the originals.
Yeah, exactly. They were like soft reboots of the franchise, and look at how well it did.
It's just like, here's the same thing, but for everyone, not just for the people that played it before.
Yeah, and not just for nostalgia, but actually...
And it actually makes it better, because like back then, it wasn't that... Not everything that was done wasn't that good. They can fix things, make it better. Like,
not
they
true,
have the experience.
Of course, I mean... But when you think about it, it's like you said, Doom... And they made what we would call like a soft reboot of the franchise with Doom 2016. It's basically the same mentality of the original Doom, just with modern things. It's just, of course, it does it better.
Oh, it's 100% better.
Of course, it's gonna be better. I mean, because you know,
everything is better.
Like they're not gonna. It's not gonna be like 2019, and people are gonna be like, "Yo, we got the new Doom game," and it's just like the Doom that came out back in like the fucking 90s.
There's a lot of different companies releasing old school shooters like that. Like, well, they released a mod for Doom called Sigil. That is, like, actually, like, levels that never released. But there's a lot of actual companies doing games that look like the original Doom. Okay. They just play super good because, like, they don't need much performance.
Yeah, and it can run, like, 120
FPS. So the FPS is fucking crazy. Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be a case for the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Of course, like, but...
those games survive because of nostalgia. There's a lot of people still playing it. Exactly. It's like a little community of people that still love those games because they weren't good because they looked good. They were good because they played good.
Maybe that's a big difference between... just to kind of like start toning down things here, but it just gave me a thought when you said that. That's a big difference between video games and movies, I would say. For example... if somebody gets a movie from like the fucking 80s or something and you hear that they're going to remake it that you really like, your immediate instinct is like, oh, they're going to fuck it up, you know, when it comes to a movie. But when it comes to a video game, if somebody says, oh, they're remaking a game from like, I don't know, the early 90s, I was really good and they're remaking it. You know, these days, depending on the developer, as opposed to being like, they're going to fuck it up, you might be like, oh, this might be fucking good. For example, who was it? Like who? Paradox. Paradox said they're making Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Oh yeah.
That's like, oh, like if there was another developer, I might be like, don't touch that because that's a fucking awesome game. But it's Paradox, so I'm like, this is gonna be good.
It looks good.
This is gonna be good. It's Paradox making Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. Of course it's gonna be good. That's a big difference. Like, with a movie, no matter who's going to direct it or make it, you're still going to have, like, this big apprehension. But when it comes to a video game, like I said, depending on the developer, you might be a little bit more open to the idea.
Yeah.
That's an interesting subject to kind of tackle. Like, more differences about what makes video games better or worse than movies.
You know about Forza Horizon?
Yeah, racing game, yes.
It's made... okay. Bear with me, because you're going to think it's about something, but it's not. So Forza is made by Turn 10. And then Forza Horizon is the open world, made by Playground Games with Turn 10's thing. But Playground Games, they're remaking Fable. They're going to release a new Fable made by Playground Games. I think it's just like a remaster, not a reboot or anything.
Oh, like a remaster of the original Fable?
Yeah, a remaster of both, I think. Playground Games. They make Forza Horizon, and they did a really good job with Forza Horizon. I mean, the cars feel huge, but they know what they're doing with open world. Like, make it alive, seem interesting, not seem dead. Yeah, they make good games.
Interesting. Well, I did not know that, so I learned something new today about Fable 4 being in development. Made by.
Oh, it's Fable 4. You're right. It's Fable 4. I thought it was a remake, but no. It's the new one. But it's not with Peter.
No, it's not. It's from people that...
they asked him and he was saying, yeah, I think they can do a good job.
Yeah, of course they can. As long as, hey, if Peter Molyneux is not in it, I have all the hope in the world for it.
Yeah, he's just a liar and that's it.
Yeah. What was that whole debacle with Goddess? Let's not even get into that.
That game, it's useless.
Yeah, let's not even get into Peter Molyneux.
It's nothing to do. You can play for like... an hour and then you're like a god and you're like, well, what else is there to do? Nothing. But for him, it was the best game ever created, like Fable. Best RPGs ever created.
But it seems that now that Playground Games released Forza Horizon 4, most of their focus is focused now on Fable 4.
Yeah. So I mean, still they're releasing content for Forza Horizon every week. Like every fucking week I get a new car, there's new tracks. They've been like doing new tracks every week because they change seasons. Every week is a season, like spring, winter, summer. So they do new tracks, they maybe release new cars. They do a really good job. They've done a really good job. I love their game. It's amazing.
All right.
Plus, I'm expecting a new DLC for RE3 and the release of Forza Horizon 8. But Forza 8, let's not get into that.
No, I guess because that would be something I have to research. I don't know much about.
Well, they release one every 2 years almost. They've been doing that lately. And Forza 8 is going to be the next one in, like, eSport, Motorsport.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next one. Because Forza 7 is one of the biggest ones now. And it's going to be shut down for Forza 8. We'll see.
We'll see. But racing games are a little bit out of my... That's a little bit above my head when it comes to racing games. But I certainly hope whatever you want to see at E3, you get to see when it comes to your racing games.
Last... Did you see Microsoft Microsoft's conference last year?
I think I did, but I don't remember much of it. What were you
the biggest say? Part of the conference was showing Forza Horizon 4.
Okay.
They brought up like four people playing on PCs or playing one of the cars, because you can play together. That's the point of the game. It's multiplayer. So you're all playing in the same world. You have the car from Halo.
Yeah, the Warthog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Warthog.
That car drives like shit. It's really bad.
Well,
coolest cars are the worst. But
needless to say, we're all excited for a lot of things in the 15 days. So once E3 starts, that's going to be our big... We have a fairly long episode.
Do you know about the building that's outside of E3 that has like three towers, and every time they put like posters on it? Every time it's like a big one?
Yeah.
Last year they did Fallout 76, three Vault Boys.
Oh, I remember that.
I'm curious who's going to be there.
Look how that turned out. You know what? I got my money on Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes.
That's what I got my money on, Cyberpunk 2077, having the big billboard. But yeah, and about pretty soon once E3 starts, or you know, we'll just make one right after E3 ends, and we'll go through all the big news.
I mean, E3 is 3 days, so
exactly. So
we can maybe in the middle do one.
Depending
on it's, I don't know which days it is.
We'll figure out what days it is. I'm pretty sure it's the weekend of the 7th, if I'm not mistaken.
But we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it, but we're definitely gonna have a big, big, long episode once E3 comes out, talking about what we saw there and then, and hopefully. Hopefully, it'll be all good news and nothing that makes us go, bleh.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Prepare to cower before the uncanny condiment king.